On your right, going up north facing road.
Jasper Hoffman?
Jasper Hoffman. Losing the little house just before you come up what they call the Dugway, where it winds up around and starts uphill there. He knows a lot of stuff. He probably, I guess I was telling you about the time they had to get the goat drunk and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, Jasper was one of them, was in on it. He probably sticking it up better than I could. Jasper, he knows a lot of stories. He told me a lot of them when I worked there. That the wars. He told me he worked for, well, he used to work for Hess's grandfather. What's his, what was your grandfather's name?
Will.
Now, and Ernest is more or less taking over the farm. Well, Jasper, he got along pretty good to her grandfather, but he and Ernest is clash once in a while. He said that after war, Ernest took him out to Marshall and Company, and it's on the east Montpelier Berry Road, where they, it's a John Deere place. Took him out there to get a hay loader. Jasper rode out with him, and they load the loader on and come back. And it took most all day, time they went out and did the chores and stuff. He got back, Ernest said, well, I guess that Jasper had been right part of the day, didn't see why he shouldn't own pain for half a day's work. Jasper got mad and quit. That's his grandfather had to go up and get him back. It was hay in time. And Jasper, I guess he and Ernest saw a clash or something like that.
Well, your family was one of the first family in North Payson, wasn't it? The Nelson family.
Well, it could be. As I said, you know, there was a family that never communicated too much, so we never got any stories or anything from them. You know.
I should, I'll dig up what he said about, you know, the transcript as we do it. And he talked a little bit about that.
Mm, good.
Yeah, she's related to Corliss, and they were early family too.
Yeah, somebody told me to go see a Corliss that's still living down in Brownsville. I may be wrong. But, yeah, Warren Corliss. He lived where the golf course used to be, and he's almost 90. Is that a relation?
I remember Warren, and he went down there, he and his folks. What was their names? Corlisses, remember?
Yeah, Walter.
Walter Corliss? They lived up there in Warren. Elizabeth Farnes and that used to go up there quite a bit. Your cousin.
Yeah, see.
I think her name
was Elsie Corliss.
Yeah, this would be the boy. Yeah. He'd known a lot probably up around Warren there, up by the golf course. And if they had a farm there, and well, must be close to 40 years ago, they moved down to Brownsville, I think. I never knew him very well. I met him two or three times. But they're cousins, something that has to related somewhere back in there.
Do you think he'd be good to talk with?
Yeah, he might be. You know,
you never know until you do it, actually.
Well, he was older, you know, and I never knew him very well. I guess the only time I met him to speak to us and down to her folks or something.
Cliff Corliss is he Warner's brother?
I don't know. I don't think I even know. It's another one.
Different
another
Corliss.
Corliss, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There are a lot. It seemed to be a lot. It's a big name over here.
Well, Cliff Corliss lived up Warren. He had a garage there where a Sugar Bush service station is now.
In fact, he
was the one that built the garage there, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think he lives up there, and then there's Jesse Cody up there. He,
yeah, I've been told
he
to go
lot,
see
yeah.
him.
I remember one time we went up, I must have been about 17, we went up and camped overnight on the long trail.
Uh-huh.
And it had a little lean-to shack on top. We spent most of the night chasing hedgehogs in the stocking feet and phone quills out afterwards. And next day it poured, and we come down the mountain down there where North is now. And about a third way down the mountain was the old logging camp. There's what's left of the timekeeper's office, and the mess hall pretty well tore down, and there's a stable there where you keep six or eight teams or more for horses. And it poured. We come down through there and stopped in where Carl Marble is. Jesse Cody's farther than that. Folks, that's where they lived, down where Paul Marble is now, down below the hill there. So it was almost a straight trip down, but oh, I remember it poured that day. But I was surprised as much that lumber camp left. And a year or so later, they built new Glen Allen shack, and it was down the mountain. A quarter mile the other is probably a third of the way down the mountain. And it's above there, and they got the lumber for most of that and off that old logging camp. But it used to be a pretty good sized camp. I think it said something about 100 or so men working there.
Gosh. Yeah, I'm interested in old logging camps. Because that was a big industry, really.
Oh, yeah. Right
here.
Yeah, especially up on the mountain around the time of the First World War. Because that's where Annie Baird and that was working. They logged off the valleys and up on the mountain then. Of course, this is all open.
Yeah, that's the other thing that amazes me, the amount of, see the old pictures, the amount of open land.
And the people all talking about more trees, and they let this weed trees or that grow instead of in the mountain let good stuff come up. They don't know the difference. I had neighbors of mine that said they live down there where that pond, just above that pond there. Someone, and my neighbors, they lived over at the Smith place for a number of years, and then they went down and built a house, just started at the first house on your right, coming up to number 9. This other woman's complaining, this neighbor, I said, about me cutting down a maple tree. Said there ought to be a law against that. She said they ought to stop him. And my neighbor said, I know a guy, he says, he won't cut down a maple tree unless it's necessary. Well, there ought to be a law about it. He's cutting one down. Well, I'd cut it down, but dieback. It was dead. I was having cut down, but they didn't know the difference. But she was complaining in Ohio, and I shouldn't cut that tree down.
The other thing that has interested me is that it sounds like a number of, certainly the Irish boys used to go up on the long trail and camp, and that was, if people had an opportunity to do something, they were much more likely to do something like that, while you don't have really any involvement in the skiing. I mean, that was very different.
Well, I've been up on there since years now. I guess it's
never been
practically up. Professional hiker. They start and
I guess, but
hike one end the other or something. And
but it was really used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they claim it's used a lot now. It's in fact, it's overused now. So many of them go up there, Oh, yeah, another thing I thought of, I was riding to school one day on a school barge. Yeah, it was after I got back from Toledo. And I saw this old fellow all humped over, and he had a pack on his back. It was unbelievable, the size of it. And I'd never seen him before, so when I'm on the barge, I'd ask him. He said he was he's a pack peddler from Burlington. He's an old Jew, he said. And what'd he do? He'd come up through and go up around Waitsfield Common, out through East Warren, and swing down around and stay on that route. He didn't go off to side like over to Merrick Bragg's, I think, but stayed on the house. He'd come up about once a month. And he'd hike all the way from Burlington up through and make his rounds. And he didn't go back every night. He'd stop the farmhouse or something and use it. Put them up little enough, and a lot of them would just say, well, go ahead. And he usually end up giving them a little gift or something, a little piece of ribbon or something, Didn't cost him too much, and then you know, it didn't cost them. Those days, you've come in at a place in or near mealtime, you had to come in and sit down and have supper or something, whatever meal it was. And so that's the only time I ever see him. But then I heard afterwards that, well, he had to quit because of the age and his health. And I heard afterwards somebody that knew him and liked the old fella told me that what he'd made backpedaling like that had put his son and daughter through college, set his son up in business, and they told the old man they didn't want to see him afterwards after he got him set up. See, he made them ashamed or whatever you want to call it, because they were, you know, they were up in the higher society down there in Burlington that time.
Well, you know, it was interesting. One of the interviews I did was with Max Fishman, Fishman's store over in Virgin's. Max Fishman was a peddler like that, and I don't think got over this far, but came as far as Hancock.
Oh, yeah.
And he peddled with a pack on his back until he could buy a store. And then, bought a cart, then a store, and his grandson now runs Fishman's.
Oh,
And Carl Long had his store down here. They had he used to have a grocery cart. In fact, he had two of them. And Newton Clark run the one, I think it's either 5 or 6 days a week. And he went down through below Waitsfield, North Faiston, and Moortown, and I think Middlesex, and Duxbury, and up around the backside river, and down around that way. He might have gone a little further, but I know he went that far. Had the grosses all kinds on each side, and where you could open up and get it. In the back end, they had the meat shop, you might call it. Mm-hmm. Drop tailgate down, then you cut out what you wanted, or say that way. And he went that way, and then another old fellow, he drove, it must have been about a 30 Dodge, it would be a panel truck, you know, or pickup today. He drove that, and he'd go down through Hancock and Granville and that, and up through Puddle Lock. And he must have been in the early 70s. And my father went with him a couple of times and helped him out, or he was sick or something. And I remember one night I was waiting for father. I guess I was going to go, I can't remember what it was, but I was going home with father anyway. And Claude Wimble, who worked for Carl Long, he got a call through and had to go get this old Bert Savage. He broke down. So Claude didn't know where to go, so I asked my father to go with him. And it was quite late and pretty cold that night. Went down in the middle of Granville Woods and up what they call Puddle Dock up in that road. Got up in there, I don't know, a mile or so, and there was no possible way you could get by anybody where he was. High banks on each side. And after a while, I think Claude got him started. He must have. I don't remember too much about it. I remember it was cold and I was trying to do it with a lantern and a flashlight. And they got him started anyway and got him home. But he used to go that way with it. He was quite an old man. Then after he retired, he lived up on Waitsfield Common, had a house there. He was in high school, and they didn't have much for fire equipment in those days. And they got a call through high school when the boys got help, because his house was on fire. And it's right, I think it's right next to where Bud Wimble is up there in Waitsfield Common now. Just across from the cemetery on the back side there.
Oh, right, yeah.
And us boys went in, got all we could out, back side the house, all on fire, and didn't have everything in the bucket brigade. And got most of the things out, and the last ones out was Fred Armstrong and myself. I guess we were two of the bigger ones. And we went out through the window because the wall on the back side was all aflame, and they were all in force to come out before the place collapsed. Well, we got pretty near all this furniture off the old man.
That's amazing.
And then he went to work for Earl Jones down where the Verdmont trailer park is now. There's a big barn there. And I worked there for a month or so in the spring. The rest of the time, for quite a while, I worked, 6 or 8 months anyway. I worked up part of Gordy Irish lived for the Irish place there before that barn burned.
You mean the old Irish place, or do you mean
up on the
Wakefield
Cop? Yeah. Up there. Oh, the old Irish place, I hayed there after war, but there's just the house left, I think it was. Yeah. But it was the other one. And Chubb Cobalt had it then, a little later. I mean, when I come back from California, my father helped build a barn there. The other barn had burned. It burned, I guess, while I was out in California.
And you were out in California in the service, right?
Is that, no, I was out there working for North American Aviation.
God, I can't keep track of
them. For near 3 years. I worked out there, then come back, and I went in the service. So I was gone. I wasn't in the valley here only just a few months out of about 7 years. So. I worked on T6, as they call them. They moved the plant to what was it? Texas, Fort Worth, I guess it was. And had B-25s in there on one side. And I worked on the Mustang B-51s most of the time on that.
And then you went in the service?
I came back here going to service, yeah. I hadn't been home for pretty near 3 years. So
was this when you met?
No, not after the war.
I was,
no way would I get married and go into service.
No,
besides, I hadn't met anyone.
So it wasn't until the service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, first time I see her down the Baird's Mill. He was just holding dances there so he'd get money enough to put some machinery.
This was his first dance he had there.
And we'll see her and a couple other girls going ahead, and there's Guy Joss and I and Bob Gallagher and one or two others. Somebody said something about the being cute little girls. Melon said, yeah, all jailbait.
And she looked That's right, because you thought she was so young. I remember you said that.
She looked to be about 14. She still did.
A long time ago.
Still looked pretty young when she was about 30. You think about 10 years younger than she was, or more.
Say, she still looks pretty young.
Yeah, all right. Talking with her, then she told me how old she was, and I didn't believe it. But, so I got her mother to back her up. I don't know, either the wolf lied to me, I don't know. I think it's in 41 or 46, 47, I think it was. I, fire there, my brother and I, logged over in the back over where Glenview Acres is now. I had about 25 acres over there. It used to be a farm, it all grown up. We logged and Friday, taking down a pair of Travis sleds down the hill down past where the your Green Mountain School is now, and out through and down and down to mill. You might have some little snow in and took the log down to Orson Team then. Winner. And his mill and he first started his mill. That was the first winner.
Gosh.
Let's see, it had to be 47, 48, because we were married by then. It's spring of 46 now, it's here.
And you had, was your father living on this farm up here then?
Oh, he lived down our Millbrook Lodges. Across from the George Sawyer's place.
And when did you buy this place then?
Well, I had a 10-day delay in route.
That's
right,
you told me that, yeah.
I had 5 days at home.
And that
I bought this place. I said, well, I didn't have a place, I'd have the thing anyway. I bought this and I bought the place down there. I had
it was a smart move.
I was still putting all my army pay all through the war, went paying on these places.
I bet. But it was a smart thing to do.
Well, I didn't know if I was going to be back now, but I figured it all has something, you know. But, that place down there, I paid $700 for. And heard my father add another 25 to it. Fellow figured out to get a little more than 700. And there's a house and a barn, and they've added some on the lower end and some on the back. But it's still a four-bedroom house.
And this is your son's...
No, this is down Millbrook Lodge.
Oh, down there. Yeah. And I guess I told you about putting the pipeline through where there's only three cars come through during the day.
Yeah, that was incredible. This farm here, these buildings, are they the original or?
Oh, these right here?
Yeah.
Well, the main barn is. I come up here one time as a boy. It had another barn, it went this way. It was a horse barn.
Uh-huh.
This barn goes this way, and the other went this way.
Yeah.
And then they had another barn like this, it went the other way. And they kept cattle in these, and the horses are here. And it's U-shaped, and it's just probably a 3-foot space in between them. Or you could go in between. And they used that for a barnyard. See, that protect them in the wintertime.
Yeah.
But the other was a horse barn. And that was time I got it, they were all down. The other barn was down at the time when I stopped. I must have been 17, 18. I hiked up one day.
And your grandparents had originally had this place.
They went out of the family for, and then my father and my uncle had it for a while, and they went out of the family for a few years, for several years, and then I got it. I bought it while I was home.
Yeah.
And just for going overseas.
And you said...
Then I bought Smith place over here, about 90 acres. I had the timber on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ward, he got a hold of this back in 1935 for taxes for off Henry Smith.
That's not Harry Smith, Henry Smith.
No, he'd be Harry's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Smith's uncle. Harry's father than that is. Harry's grandfather, Pat Smith, bought this place, moved over here, called Smith Place, back in 1850. And I think they were related to Willie somewhere along in there.
Willie Bragg?
Yeah, I think so. His grandmother or something was a Smith or some such thing. Either that or by adoption or something.
Yeah, I told you they let me read those letters of his great grandmother wrote to her family out in Missouri.
Yeah,
and the telephone first coming in and all the different things, building that barn.
They got quite a lot of history up there.
It's fascinating. Yeah.
Well, my sister's got, like I said, I got a letter from. That my grandmother got Sherman.
Oh, that's right, Landley, in the Civil War.
From somebody over out in Nebraska, his sister. My sister wrote back how she's married, said he's a good man, but said times are hard, but they're getting by, but said we'll probably never meet again, told her sister, but my grandmother. And I think my sister has the original letter. She says she'd rather get that one from mother before mother tore it up. It might
be
one.
Did you ask her if she had any photographs?
Seen her.
Yeah, I haven't called her yet.
We haven't seen her. We see her.
I guess you see her
last week
at the funeral, but I wouldn't go.
But Harold Stafford died,
I didn't know.
He used to have a farm up there down the hall before you get below. Von Trapp's place.
Uh-huh.
On that same road. Yeah. His sister-in-law is his sister-in-law. His wife and my
sister-in-law's
sisters.
Your sister-in-law is who's?
Harold Stafford's.
Oh, I see.
Harold Stafford's wife and my sister-in-law were sisters. My brother's wife, the one that lived down in Florida. So... And my younger brother worked for Harold a lot. He was there, went over to the wake, I guess you call it, night before. But he didn't go to the funeral. He's got a grandson or step-grandson. They were raising. His wife died.
They adopted him.
They adopted him. And he's in Marines. He's over there in Saudi Arabia. When he was younger, he had leukemia.
Oh.
They said it might come back. And brother just got word that just getting straightened out from his wife's death, and the insurance company more or less bamboozled him out of it. I think I'd have come at him a little different. My brother kind of let go. Big hospital bill, should have been paid for. So, hospital, the, you know, all these insurance companies are, and he was dead broke. He couldn't fight them. Anyway, he just got word from his boy there that he's got a mess of tumors. So he's still in the service out in San Diego, I guess. So he didn't.
Yeah, that's.
Now, did you want to need to try to?
Yeah, I'd love it. Sing? Is that what you're warming up to?
Huh? Well, you're not going to get only maybe a verse out of a lot of them.
That's all right. I'll take what I can get. I'm not greedy. Well,
I'd like to remember. I did remember one more verse, the one song, just before you come.
Now, which song was that?
The one I'm here is about. No, some of it I haven't got. I don't know just how to put it in. There's a, you know, one or two lines of verses. I don't know.
I'm sure but I can sort of hum along.
The one I'm here is. I'll go back just a little later after I get in the mood for it. And some of these songs are at least 50 years ago, and some of them, you know, I haven't heard for 50, 60 years.
And you heard them from who, and your mother? Or?
Yeah, usually. But, of course, you don't pay much attention when you're down in your early teens or something like that. And maybe I'd hear them once, maybe a couple times. The only one I retained there was most of that one on the upper leg, under leg. And mother's uncle, I said the one I had was up in the Klondike Gold Rush and that, and he sang it, and I paid more attention to it. Sang it a couple times, and I had listened through it, and I managed to remember most of it.
It's amazing to me that I don't have that talent, that somebody can do that.
Well, if it comes to names, I might as well forget it.
Oh, me too.
I'm surprised I even remember these many names. In fact, I had to check it out. Well, let me see. Well, here's one that you might be able to get from Sterling. No, that ain't the one. You probably got the one about the preacher and the bear.
I got a couple of verses from David DeVries, but not all of them.
Well, I don't know many of them. The first two or three was where you went out hunting. And then the only one was something about the bear hugging tighter, and he says, "Oh Lord, who delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. Oh Lord, I do declare, as the book, good book do declare, oh Lord, if you can't help me, don't help that big black bear." That's about all I can remember of
well,
it.
Well, sing it. That's great. Sing it.
I don't know. Well, the other is, it goes out, and I guess it gets up a tree or something, and then gets down, and the bear is hugging him anyway. And it says, "The preacher did a hunt and go," and that's about it. And then the bear hugged him tighter. I won't try to sing that, because, you know, I don't get that far. I just get in it, and that's as far as it goes. See? As long as I can get started on it. "Oh Lord, who delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, the good book to declare, oh Lord, if you can't help me, don't help that big black bear." That isn't the tune, but that is it. And then there's a one about the. This one I mentioned about this, I probably told you this, about the woman who heard the preacher tell about some porn and all that in some other country, and the preacher and that, and on the way home, and this boy come up to her and ask her for help, and I guess a mother or something, and